On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, a weekend in review where men's basketball struggles but has an opportunity to bounce back, women's basketball continues to cruise as they really fall into form. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 123 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And how about that? Episode 123. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, party time. Absolutely love it. Hope y'all had a nice weekend out there. Great weekend to be a sports fan, obviously. South Carolina sports going on throughout, and then professional sports going on, crazy NFL playoffs, crazy comeback wins. Great weekend. Great weekend just to take it easy and not leave your couch, which is something that I basically did all weekend, and I absolutely love it here. But it is funny, you know, I think it was Paul Feinbaum who tweeted, "What's your word to describe the first weekend without college football?" And it's really that first weekend where there's no college football in sight. It's not like there's a gap between bowl games and things like that. And my word was depressed. Yeah, it's depressing without college football, especially when it's so far away. It's just like after the news we had last week with Spencer and Juice, I'm just like raring to go. Like, I just want to watch this team get after it again. Can't come soon enough. It's not waking me up when September ends. It's waking me up when September gets here so I can watch football, please. I got a fun episode for y'all here. Just going to review this past weekend from Carolina Athletics. But before I jump into that, there was a little bit of a spicy news coming out of the football program. Gonna just keep it short and sweet here, but I'm sure you all had seen the Shane Beamer tweet where he quote tweeted a radio station that's based in the upstate, you know, basically insinuating that the gap between that team in the upstate and USC continues to be there based off of the news that came from their offensive coordinator hire. Shane Beamer very, very fervently calling out that radio station and saying that you can't say that sources tried to go after him when you didn't ask me. He's the main source, all that. And, you know, I looked at this tweet as he was defending the program and he's defending his guy in Dowell Loggins, who he's had to defend really ever since it was leaked that he was a top candidate. And I think it speaks to the type of culture that Shane Beamer is building, where you defend your brothers. You go to war for them, right? Now, with that being said, I don't think Shane Beamer should engage with every negative headline on Twitter. He doesn't. He rarely is negative on Twitter. But I think with this particular tweet, it was from a radio station in the state of South Carolina that was continuing to push the narrative that the program up there is on a different tier than USC. And Shane Beamer's mission in life is to change that narrative on its head. And he's doing so by winning on the field, winning recruiting battles, and continuing to push and promote his culture. And so when you see something like that, he took this as an opportunity to nip it in the bud. Again, I don't think he should engage with every negative headline on Twitter. you're the head coach of a big-time football program. There's going to be a lot of negativity out there. There's going to be some clickbait out there. Don't engage with it. But for this particular instance, I was okay with it. And I like spicy Shane Beamer. I like when he gets a little feisty. It's cool. You know, that's our guy. He's fighting for us. So that's my take on it. Don't want to give that headline and that station any more attention because they deserve next to none. Anyway, moving on to scores from the weekend here. Swimming and diving were in action here. Unfortunately, both teams lost to Georgia. The women lost 191 to 119, and the men lost 189.5 to 109.5. That's all right, y'all. You get them next time, right? Which brings me to some of the major sports here, starting with men's basketball. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off. We've had to do this already before. The men's basketball team lost to Texas A&M 94 to 53. That sucks. But, you know, Hayden Brown was out with an injury. So a little bit of an asterisk there. If you're a South Carolina fan, a little bit of rationale for an already thin team to not have a key contributor for you. But really, this is the roller coaster Jekyll and Hyde season and really team that is the 2023 Gamecocks continues. You go to Kentucky and upset Kentucky for the first time since like 1999, only to then turn around and come home and really get beat down by Texas A&M. But make no mistake about it. I mean, A&M is good. They are second in the SEC. So, you know, I talked a lot about them prior, how they're having a very nice season and all that jazz. And, like, that's no joke. They are having a very good season. They are a good team. They have a good coach. So, it's not that there's no shame in this. It sucks, but they're a good team. But, you know, for summary of this game here, it was Aggies early and often. Carolina had a horrendous first half. No other way to describe it. Horrendous first half, and A&M did not slow down in the second, so that huge margin just held true. But just like the Tennessee game, it has to be you just flush it and move on. This is big time college basketball. You got to just be able to flush this type of stuff and move on. Now, some player highlights for you here. Zachary Davis, freshman, led all scoring with 13 points. Very cool to see Zachary have that type of game. He's had moments where he's flashed. He made a couple of big plays against Kentucky. It was really nice to see him get that total there. And that's someone to keep an eye on, where maybe, you know, Davis develops into a pretty nice contributor. Hopefully he can stick around for next year, and that's a piece moving forward you can build on. Michi Johnson had 11 points, and then nobody else was in double figures. That includes Gigi Jackson. So right there, you know it's going to be a struggle. Hayden Brown, again, it was out for this game, and he is incredibly valuable for this team. I mean, I've talked about the big three, right, where it's Brown, Johnson, and Gigi Jackson. Those three really, as they succeed, the team succeeds. With Hayden Brown and Michi Johnson, they are a little bit more experienced. They're versatile, all that. But with Hayden Brown, he can be a matchup nightmare. And he plays hard, and he's gritty. The coach of A&M spoke after the game that without him, the identity was completely different of this Carolina team, and they were able to really have their way with us. With Hayden Brown in there, he's not afraid to go down to the post, get some rebounds. He's a good three-ball shooter. He's a good distributor of the ball. He does everything. So when you lose that piece, and then you couple that with your freshman phenom in Jackson not having really a good game at all, it's just going to be tough sledding. And it happens. And that's going to happen with this team this year. So again, flush it and move on. And the men will be moving on Tuesday night against Ole Miss. That game is at home. Now, the Rebels are 8-9 overall and 0-5 in the SEC, currently in sole possession of last place in the SEC. Now, before we get too excited, I will say the caveat of their SEC record is that they have faced really the top half of the conference already this year. They faced a really good Tennessee team. They faced a very good Alabama team. They faced Auburn. So they've been through the ringer of it. It's not like they're getting the brakes beat off them by the likes of, you know, like a Vanderbilt or, you know, whatnot. So if there is, with that said, if there is ever a time for Carolina to bounce back, it's this one. Coming off a bad loss, you're staying at home. You were able to bounce back last time you had a bad loss. Now you're facing a team that's also struggling in the year. This is the time to get it done. And we're all in agreement here about this team. Like, we don't expect them to be world beaters, right? We don't expect them to be winning the SEC, going to the tournament. We don't expect them to be great. But let's still be basement beaters, right? Like, beat the teams that are in the basement. Because although we're towards the bottom in the SEC standings, like, let's not quite get there. And there's not going to be many must wins, if any, this year. But this is as close to it as you can get. So you got to go out there. You got to fight. You got to show your pride. You don't want this to be a situation where you slip to a team that's in last place. So hopefully Hayden Brown is okay and we can get this thing going again at home, and let's get a nice win against the Rebels. My crows to the game here are really, you have to get G.G. Jackson going. I mean, in both blowout losses against SEC teams this year, G.G. has been super quiet, and he's struggled. So if you want to get this thing going against this other team that's struggling as well, you need to get your star freshman to show up, right? You got to have him be at or near the top of leading scorers for the team. It opens things up for the rest of the guys. You saw that against the Kentucky game. And the guys calling the game talked about that Jackson was more involved. He was more energetic, wasn't sluggish. His body language was better. He's still a freshman. You know, he's still learning. It's hard when you're going against an experienced team like an A&M or like a Tennessee. They know how to key in on these guys better. With Ole Miss, they're struggling this year. We're comparable to them, right? They haven't won in the SEC yet. Let's have that continue, right? So you got to get G.G. Jackson going. Again, hopefully Hayden Brown is healthy. He brings that dynamic ability for you. Get him going. And then with G.G. going, hopefully the rest of the team can follow as well. Let's go, boys. Which brings me to women's basketball. Now, a quick look back, as I wasn't able to speak on it the last episode as they were playing as I was recording. But last Thursday, the women beat Kentucky 95-66. So last week, there was the Wildcat sweep for South Carolina. South Carolina officially owns Kentucky in multiple sports. Feels so good to say. Just feels so good to say. But more recently, Sunday, the ladies beat Mizzou 81-50. And just a butt-whooping. Just a butt-whooping. And it's funny that Carolina fans for this weekend have seen both sides of a butt-whooping, right? The men got their butts whooped, and the ladies gave Mizzou a butt-whooping. So it's just funny. It's funny how it goes. But that's just the only way I can describe this win, right? The second and third quarters were just absolutely dominant by Carolina. And this really ends up being a very nice win, as Mizzou is not that bad at all in their own right. You know, they're middle, top half of the SEC. They have a couple SEC wins. Their record is pretty solid. So that's a good win. And again, this Mizzou team beat Carolina last year as the only regular season loss. So, A, you get to avenge that a little bit, and you're getting a competitive SEC team, and you're really handling your business. And it feels like this team might be hitting their stride, where there were a couple of closer calls that the start of SEC play early in the year. We were missing some big pieces. And it does feel like this team is starting to round out into form very nicely, getting contributions from your stars. But then also, you know, against Kentucky, you had Amy here had a nice game. Cardozo had a nice game, right? Some player highlights from this game include Ashlyn Watkins, 13 points off the bench. That's the type of stuff we're starting to see. Now, Aaliyah Boston also did her thing with 20 points and 10 rebounds. Zaya Cook with 16 points. She is having a very nice season already this year. And looks like she's really taken her game to the next level. And it's so cool to see her in Boston, right? Those are your big-time returning players, your leaders, starters. It's who you want leading the effort. And when they have been going, the team has been whooping butt, kicking ass, really. So it's cool to see. And I think as this team starts to hit your stride, you'll see more of the type of scores that we're used to and type of flows of games that we're used to. Now, that's not to say that there's not going to be games where this team struggles, especially in league play. There are some good teams in the SEC. And it's going to be very interesting to watch, but this team is gritty, and this team finds different ways to win. They have multiple ways to beat you, where, of course, we can go through our bigs, but we also have some shooters, and we have some very exciting young talent, and that's really cool to see. That's a championship-type team right there, because you don't want to have just one trick, right? You want to be able to beat teams in different ways, and Dawn Staley has spoken to that, and that's what you're already seeing on display, so it's very cool to see. Now, the next game for the ladies is Thursday night. I feel so bad. I don't know if I'll be able to catch that one. Thursday night at Vanderbilt. Vandy is 9-9 overall and 0-4 in conference. So my crow to the game here is put this away by the half. That might be a little cocky of me, no pun intended, but the Gamecocks have just been on a roll here, right? Dawn Staley and company are rolling these past few games. It would be great to keep things going, open up the game in dominant fashion, really have this thing away, be able to get some players some rest, and use this as a game to expand the bench, get everyone some quality minutes, and let everyone get that key experience. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.